This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
For those of you that don't know me, my name is Loki. I am not a pastor. I am just a normal member of this congregation. But I have the privilege, and it is a privilege, to share the word with you this morning. And you know, something amazing happened this morning. When I was at varsity, I was standing in the church in front, and I saw a picture of a mom and two little daughters dancing. And God spoke to me that morning, and he said, "That's what I have for you." And this morning, I saw my first daughter dancing in the presence of the Lord. She's 2.5 years old, and it was, isn't God amazing? We serve a living God, a relational God, a God that seeks our heart, that seeks all of what we are, and he wants to connect with us in that place. So I am very, very excited about the word I'm going to share this morning. This book, what a privilege. What a privilege that we can have something like this that God's given us. This is something that we must steward. This is something that God's given us as a compass for life. It is our first point of call for every single decision we should make. It carries all the wisdom that there is for life is in this book. And I must be honest with you this morning. I wasn't the best steward of this book. But I had the privilege on the 22nd of April to see a miracle in Bloemfontein happen, to see a million people, I saw it with my own eyes or more, I don't know the exact figure, to see people come together and respond to God. That moment changed my life, and I realized that there's so much more that God wants to do in each and every one of us. After that day, it wasn't difficult to stand up in the mornings before work to spend time with God. It wasn't difficult to leave everything and spend, because I saw something about God that is amazing. And I told some of the people what I'm going to share with you this morning is pretty much my quiet time in summary. But it is a message that I believe God is bringing to us for the season that we're in. So it's about stewardship, as you probably notice, the message. But the title is actually, what is that in your hand? And let's go back on a journey in history about 3,500 years ago to Egypt, where the Israelites were in Egypt and they were under oppression. And the king of Egypt just died. And at that moment, Israel called out to God. And it was amazing to see that the whole of Israel that actually called out to God was also about a million people. So as I stood there on the 22nd of April and I looked around me, I had this moment where I said, God, this is what it must have been like. This is what it must have been, what it had to look like to see all these people coming together asking for you for deliverance. We are living in an amazing time. What a privilege. And it wasn't only the people that were in Bloemfontein, but it happened all around the country. It happened all in other nations. I heard that they actually raised the South African flag in Israel on that day. The whole world knew God is busy doing something amazing. And when Israel called out to God, the Bible said he heard. It said, I'm an emotional guy, sorry. It said he knew. And I want to take you to the conversation that happened after he heard and after he knew, because that conversation, that discussion, that dialogue between a man and God carried a lot of relevance that day, but I believe the same conversation carries relevance today. It's a discussion between God and Moses. So it's not going to be on the slides, but you can follow with me in the Bible. In Exodus 3, I'll read for you, if you don't have your own Bible. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of the Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to the mountain of Horeb, which was also called Mount Sinai. Now, that means desolate place. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, but yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. For those of you that are troubled because you speak to yourselves, I just want to tell you there's a biblical confirmation for you. When the Lord saw that Moses turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not come near. Take the sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. So the desolate place is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings. And I have come down to deliver them out of the land of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to a place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. I'm not sure if I pronounced all of that correct, but. And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. You know, it's important to note that at this point in time, Israel was in slavery for over 250 years. They were born into it. That was their frame of reference. They did not know freedom. That's the only thing that they know. And I believe God is saying, we are like that as well. Not in a natural sense, but in a spirit. You see, our battle is not against flesh and blood. Our struggle is against principalities. It's against the authorities, the rulers of the present darkness, against cosmic powers of this age. And some of us have been born into it. There are principalities that we have become familiar with. It's in our blind spot. But what I believe as I went through this message, God is saying, he is saying that the desolate place is our hearts. And what he does to a desolate place is he makes it holy. He makes it a place of worship. Because that's very mountain where the bush burned was the mountain that God took Moses up when he gave him the Ten Commandments. And I believe that that is what the Holy Spirit wants to do to us now. I believe that there are people here that are feeling like they are suffering, like they're under oppression. And I believe God is our deliverer. And I believe it's a season where God is going to come and he's going to deliver us from the things that are keeping us in bondage. There's an invitation that God has for us, that he had for Moses. And it says, come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Wednesday, a few of my friends, powerful men of God, came together and we prayed. And what came out of the prayer was, God, show us the pharaohs. Show us the pharaohs, the principalities that are keeping us in bondage. And I believe that's the question, or that's the thing that God's going to show each one of us. For God has called us to be free. God has not called us to live in bondage with things that oppress us, things that steals the freedom and the joy that God has given us and promised to us. Then Moses said to God, "If I come to the people of Israel and I say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is your name? What shall I say to them?' And God said to Moses, 'I am who I am.' And he said, 'Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you.' God also said to Moses, 'Say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered through all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to me saying, I have observed you and what has been done to you in Egypt. And I promise that I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they will listen to your voice, and you and the elders of Israel shall go to the king of Egypt and say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. And now please let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless compelled by my mighty hand. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all the wonders that I will do in it. After that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And when you go, you shall not go empty, but each man or each woman shall ask of her neighbor and any woman who lives in her house for silver and gold and jewelry and for clothing. You shall put them on your sons and your daughters, so you shall plunder the Egyptians." Now, this was a slave populace. They did not know the ownership of anything because they've never had it. They were born into slavery. And God's, I think the Pharaoh felt so ridiculed by his own people that disposed of favorably to people with a question. They just asked. And what was given to them was so much that it actually plundered the Egyptians. But it's important to note, and it will make sense later, but what was the gold and the silver and all of that used for? It was used to build the tabernacle of God so that God can have habitation with him. That's what that was used for. Then Moses answered, "But behold, they will not believe me nor listen to my voice, for they will say, 'The Lord did not appear to you.' And the Lord said to him, 'What is that in your hand?' And Moses answered, 'A staff.'" See, for Moses, what was in his hand at that point in time was a staff. But for God, it was an instrument of power. It was the instrument that was turned into a serpent and back into a staff on God's command. It was the instrument that actually initiated a lot of the plagues. It was the instrument that was used to hit the stones so that the Israelites can quench their thirst. It was the instrument that was used to open the sea, the Red Sea. And it was the instrument that was used in the battle against the Amalekites, where Moses had to hold the staff above his head, and while he held it there, Israel got victory. So the question that I believe God is asking each one of us is, what is that in your hand, church? This is the question that God asked me. What is that in your hand? You see what Moses did is he took something that was his and he used it for the purpose of God. You can go to the next slide, please. So there's a picture. I hope you can see it. I saw this picture for the first time 3 years ago. It changed my life. Because the question or the viewpoint that we have to face as Christians is, do we live on our world and bring God into that? Or do we live in God's world and submit to God's world? And I want to focus, because it's stewardship, that picture applies to much more, but I want to focus on one of the pharaohs that I believe God is showing us. I want to focus on Mammon this morning. You see, Psalm 24 says, the earth is the Lord's in all its fullness, the world and all those who dwell therein. And the journey God took me on, and is taking me on still, I'm not perfect, is, Loki, if you had to put your bank account in front of me, and if you had to put your balance sheet in front of me like this, whose name is written at the top? For as Israel got from the Lord and received from the Lord, they used it for God's purpose. And I am not saying that it's not good for us to have a strong balance sheet and to have a strong bank account. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, who do we serve? That is the question that I believe God's asking us. Who do we serve? For there's a contrast in the Bible where God compared himself to one Pharaoh. And that's Mammon, that's money. And I'll read it for you. It's in Luke chapter 16, verse 13 is the one I'm reading. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So if I have to look at that picture, the one would look like this. If I was in my world, I would say, God, please, I need, will you come down and give me this that I need? So what are we asking God? We're asking God to help us serve something else. Where we're supposed to serve God. But if we're in the other world, it looks like this. God, this is yours. If God said to Moses, take your staff and hold it above your head, will we be willing to do the same? If God says that to us. See, there's a precious thing in the Bible. It's in Luke chapter 21, verse 12. The widow's offering, where Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into an offering box. And he said, and he saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. And he said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them. The Lord says, where your treasure is, your heart will lie also. And I just want to focus on that scripture quickly. Because if we have to be honest with ourselves, our treasure is what we own. That's what we have, our cars, our houses, and all of that. And I'm asking the question is, if your heart's there, what does it look like? Our God is a relational God. Does your relationship with your things take priority over your relationship with God? Because then we're missing it. Because God's relationship is our number one priority. And I believe that this is a word for us, for me and for you. Because the word says, and you shall remember the Lord your God. This is Deuteronomy 8, verse 18. For it is he who gives you the power to get wealth. That, and this is a part that we don't always read, that he may establish his covenant, which we swore to our fathers. It's about a relationship. It's about a relationship with God. It's about knowing what God has given us and using what God is giving us in the way that God wants us to use it. There's a beautiful picture of people in the Bible in Acts 2 that got this right. They got the relationship right because there was need and they felt led by God to sell what they had and present it to the apostles' feet to be distributed among all those who had need. And I believe that that was what they had to do at that point in time. And I'm not saying, please go home, sell everything you've got, you know, just give it away. That's not what I'm saying. I'm asking the question of whose name is on top of your balance sheet. Does your bank account bring honor to God? That's the question I'm asking. Because if God can use a staff to change the world, imagine what he can do with what we have in our hands with so many people here this morning. I believe that we are in the same season as what that I'd read here. I believe it's a season, it's just in the spirit. God did a miracle on the 22nd of April. There's an invitation from God to us. God wants to take the hearts that have turned hard, which are desolate, and he wants to make it holy, loving, putting him as first. He wants to show us, and that's the process that we'll go through. The pharaohs in our lives, the things that are keeping us back, the things that are stealing our freedom. And he wants us to be delivered from it. And that is my message this morning, nice and sweet and short. But I want to show you something that Lord showed me. If you can go to the next slide. That's not what the Lord showed me, but let me just... Let's just go back to that slide quickly. It's with this in mind, whole thing, that on the 27th of May, we are having a financial wellness workshop. And I say we, it's not actually me, it's more Neil and the guys from Zach and Actuaries and Zach Finn. But this is aimed at us taking the responsibility to get our lives right on the financial point of view. This is us saying, listen, for those of you that are feeling in bondage, come, if you feel like your financial house is not in order, I'd encourage you, this is just the start. After this, we'll see if we can get practical budgeting workshops going with nice tools that technology gives and all of that. But I want to encourage you to take action if that is you this morning. And come to this. To tell you what the heart is behind this is an amazing heart. The heart is freedom and hope. The heart is people in this congregation that realized that so many people are kept back by the financial burdens in their lives. It's one of the two biggest causes of stress and oppression. It's that and sexual immorality is the other one. But this is a swing at it, guys. This is a swing at getting that sort of, that side of our life in order. So please do come if you, and if you're double-minded about should you go, just go. Okay. What the Lord showed me in the next slide is I took out Moses' response out of this dialogue. And it painted the picture which I think a lot of us can relate to. But I felt God say that the same rules don't apply to us anymore. In a good way, in an encouraging way. Because if you look at what Moses said, he said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? I think I felt like that, and I think all of us have felt like that before. Who am I? And the Lord's response was, you're a son. You're a daughter. I have given you the identity because I paid that price for you. Moses said, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? We know God's name. It's Jesus. We can have a personal relationship with him. It's a different rule that applies to us. If you can go to the next slide. And Moses said, but behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, the Lord did not appear to you. fear of man has no place in our lives if the perfect love of God is embraced. We fear God. That's all we need to fear. And that's a holy fear. It's a reverent fear. It's not a fear that makes you run away from God. It's a fear that draws us to God. And Moses said to the Lord, "Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent either in the past since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and tongue." We know that he is made perfect in our weaknesses, so we can become comfortable with where we fall short and know that that's where he's going to be glorified. We can have grace with each other's shortcomings, because what we can look for is we can look for God in that moment. And he said, "Oh, my Lord, please send someone else." We are easy to disqualify ourselves for our own inheritance. But that's what it is. It is our inheritance. God has given us everything to walk the road that we're supposed to walk. He has prepared good works for us all in advance before the foundation of this world. And with confidence in him, we can walk our calling. So if you can stand with me, church. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. And Father, your word says that you will be with us, Father. And I pray, Lord, that we can, Father, start practicing the awareness, Father, of your presence, Father. Knowing, Lord, that you are with us, Father, as you're with us now. And I lift up every heart to you, Father, and I thank you, Lord, that Holy Spirit, it's by your hand that you will bring about the change that you want to, Father. Yours is the kingdom, Father. So maybe you are here this morning and you can identify with a heart that has grown cold, a heart that feels desolate, a heart that is oppressed, and a heart that is not completely free in God's presence. And if that's you, I would want you to come forward to this morning, because we want to pray with you. Because I feel that the Holy Spirit wants to move hearts this morning to place and open up the wellsprings so that living waters can flow through us and out of us. So if that's you, I just want to invite you to come to the front so that we can pray with you this morning. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you would show every single person here, every single brother and every single sister, Father, the Pharaohs, Father, that are at work in their families and in their lives, Father. I pray, Lord, that you would come in their quiet times, Father, where they spend time with you, and you will reveal, Father, to them, Father, what you want, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that you love every single person, Father. And your heart is for us, Father. Your heart is for us to walk a road of deliverance, Father, to be a generation like Moses, Father, that can speak to the Pharaohs, Father, and bring liberty, Father, to the captives, Father, in Jesus' name. So if you feel the Holy Spirit speaking to you, you're welcome to come join us in front. We're going to sing two songs of praise, and after which, if you want to leave, you can leave, and just have respect for what the Holy Spirit is doing.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.